You're in the mix with Swami Sound. It's CKUT 90.3 FM, and we've got some hot two-step for you. Stay tuned.
every single time I make believe your love is real. You only have selfish desires.
Give me just a second. generate love all over the world. Generate to every boy and girl. Celebrate so everyone can see. Generate love from you to me. Generate love all over the world. Celebrate love all over the world. Yeah. Generate love for all.
Sound from the Bronx, New York, and you're listening to CKUT.
Cool. So, welcome back to CKUT. Welcome back to the CKUT studio.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Absolutely. Absolutely my pleasure. How are you? How's your week been?
My week's been, like, actually pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah. My week's been good. Just been chilling. Like, this is my second time in Montreal. A little bit of a vacation, a little bit of work, a little bit of everything out here. So, kind of just enjoying myself.
That's sick. Yeah, that's great. So the last time that when the last time you were here was back in May, and it was sort of, we were heading into the summer, and now we're sort of heading out of the summer.
Yeah.
So as you sort of like look back on summer 2022,
yeah,
like what was like memorable for you in terms of like DJing or your life or art or anything?
Yo, honestly, like this is probably one of the craziest summers of my life. Sort of like just dealing with some personal like family stuff, as well as just like expounding upon my like career as a musician, as a DJ, and as a producer, traveling a bunch, going to, like when I came to Montreal the first time, that was the start of my travels.
Wow. Yeah.
So then after that we went to like Lisbon and right. then LA, and then came back to New York, did the thing in New York. So it's not like we've been to like, or rather like I've been and we've been like Eldia, like I have been to a bunch of cities this summer, but honestly, that's like enough travel to say like, yeah, I did all this stuff. Like I went here, went there, did a show there and stuff. So closing out the summer, I feel like very fulfilling in a way. Like if I was doing like 10 cities, like, or rather like 20 cities,
right,
it would have been crazy. I would have been exhausted.
Yeah.
But this is like kind of like a good treat to see like how things could really be.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also nice that you like, you got yourself some time before just like, to hang out in the city before you got to play and sort of like feel out the energy,
yeah,
see like what people are listening to, see what people are doing. I hope you got to enjoy some parks.
Yeah. And I was at this park actually like yesterday.
Yeah,
it was really nice out yesterday, and I had bought this Teenage Engineering speaker, the OB4. It's like a loud speaker.
Okay, cool.
And it's like pretty loud. And
okay, nice.
My intention was to like go to a park and like mix like live and stuff.
But, okay,
like,
cool.
It's a little ambitious to like carry around my mixer and then like also that speaker.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've been like actually just like going to the parks and playing music, and like I've been observing how people like have been like are listening to what I'm listening to, because I'm playing it so loud.
Yeah.
But it's like not like obnoxiously loud. It's like loud enough that it has like ambiance if you're far away.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Like, oh yeah, this is like good ambiance.
Yeah, that's a good like public park volume, I feel. Yeah. Like you want people to know, and like you can see someone else is bobbing their head, you're like, all right,
yeah,
they get it.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be a menace to society.
Exactly. And I'm not even being a menace. How could you be a menace and play everything but the girl? You
know? Exactly. That's like, yeah, I have like a little speaker that I carry on like my bike when I bike around.
Yeah.
And some people like in the bike lane, they turn back, they look at me and they look all mad and they bike off. It's like, yeah, I'm playing Moody Man right now. There's no way this pisses you off this much.
There's no way you could be moody listening to Moody Man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So also I've been noticing that you've been playing a lot of Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Recently. So I want to what does Daft Punk mean to you? You know, G-Man and
Daft Punk, like the movie, like the name of it always like defeats me. Crescent, like, well, like the characters are called the Crescent Dolls.
Uh-huh.
Like the band.
Okay.
But like that like whole animated movie around Discovery, like it's been in my mind for a while. And Daft Punk in general, Discovery is like a very, very like monumental album for me. And I like to play like a lot of cuts from that. Like Harder, Better, Faster, Strong, like that song specifically, like I played it a couple of times this summer. But I purposely didn't play it the other night at Dacha because I'm like, no, I don't have to play the song.
Yeah.
But let me play like Crescent Dolls and Superheroes.
Yeah, you know, everyone like, lost their mind for Superheroes.
Yo. And like, I feel like that's such a hype song.
Yeah.
Something's in the air. Like, it's like so repetitive, and like, there's so much energy behind those songs. Like, and when I mix, it's like, I'm not like, I've like learned a lot from DJing in New York. Mm-hmm. Like before all of this, like everything like sort of like taking its turn positively.
Yeah.
So like when I was doing these like really bad like nightclub nights at New York, I would sort of see how the crowd at New York would respond to specific songs, and they would respond to a lot of Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, like they know like that's their access to like electronic music.
Yeah.
And then amongst other songs like Kylie Minogue, like The Kisses of the Sun, like they love like all those cheesy like electronic songs.
And yeah.
Somehow, like at some point, I realized that I didn't hate it either.
Right.
Like I play these crowd pleasers not because I'm like I want to please the crowd anymore. It's because like I actually like these songs too.
Right.
And that's like helped me be a better DJ.
Mm.
As like, sort of like playing songs that align with me,
right.
as well as the crowd. Whoa. So then I'm a lot more connected. Like, and that's the reason why the crowd's gonna go crazy, is because like I'm also going crazy.
Yeah.
There. Like, it's not DJing is it's as self-serving as it isn't.
Mm.
And what I enjoy the most about doing it and playing songs like Daft Punk, like, and I could talk about the sonics of it after, but like playing those songs, like I know that people like those songs. Like, there's no way you just don't like Daft Punk.
Yeah, it's not possible.
It's not possible. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, like I'm a bit of a crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
But like, if the crowd isn't pleased, like, how can I like make such a memory?
Yeah, know? I mean, it's just when like even if it is like a song that's maybe a little bit of cheese, like you know, maybe it is Drake's Massive.
Yeah.
But if everyone's going for it, and that's what gets everyone jumping, like right. that's what makes it
right.
Makes it special.
Exactly.
You know?
And like even with the like. Speaking of the Massive like edit that I played, like
right.
I played that not
so
even
good.
I played it not even because like I wanted to play Massive in the club. I played right. it because Selecta made it.
Yeah.
So like if most of the time, like I'm still staying true to like how I started DJing, like playing my friend's music.
Yeah.
So like this is way more, it's way more than just like playing these because I think the crowd's gonna like it.
Yeah.
I know the crowd's gonna like it because I like it. And that's my truth. And like, I mean, that's like kind of what Moody Man said in his Red Bull like thing, that Red Bull interview, is like,
yeah.
yo, like I'm gonna speak my truth on these decks.
Yeah.
And that's like what I do, and I think that like translates
definitely.
And to like wrap around and like complete the Daft Punk point, is like a lot of the sonics like a part of that album, like mm-hmm. I hear in a lot of other songs
definitely.
that aren't even Daft Punk songs. So yeah. like a lot of like that Kerry Chandler cut that I played, and then the Eric Kupper's remix of Teardrops, like there are so many sounds that I hear in it, and like that's why like I my blends are like that. It's because like I'm hearing all these similarities between these songs.
Yeah.
And like I study them, like, and I think I imagine like what this blend is gonna be like. Like that's why like I jump around, I'm so sweaty.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, yeah, like this works.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I think that definitely like I think it carries, like there's like an energy, like you can mm-hmm. tell that like, you know, there's it's not just like putting tracks in, it's like really mm-hmm. like feeling it and really like I don't know, because it makes a difference. You can tell, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess segueing off of Daft Punk,
mm-hmm.
A group very famous for their, like, very strong sense of, like, aesthetics and, like, you know, yeah. like, they're the robots and they do robot stuff.
Right.
And earlier today, before we started recording, you were talking about sort of, like, building, like, I mm-hmm. guess, like, world building, like, mm-hmm. image crafting. So, like, what yeah. is, what's going, what's Swami World going to look like, you know?
Yeah, between, like, sort of me and the world, a lot of like world building has to do with like creating things and like creating like merchandise and
right.
putting stuff like physical things in the world. But this a lot of deliberations have been happening between like Gum and I, like,
uh-huh.
where we are talking about like the state of like the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Not that like I'm an expert at environmentalism, but I'm very conscious of the like what I'm like how we exist in this outside world.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, the nature that we're like experiencing, like, you know, these heat waves. Like just the overall state of like what the weather's like
mm-hmm.
recently, but also how we want to enjoy life moving forward. I'm a city guy, but like I'm getting a little tired, like having traveled, like traveling a bunch, like mm-hmm. I'm realizing like what's important to me is like sort of experiencing this earth as it is and like how it can be.
Yeah,
like being at the beach, but also it has to do with like wearing the right thing, like for those environments. Like I want to experience the world in a way that like I'm wearing what I should be, if yeah. that makes sense. So like we're very much like thinking heavily about different ACG pieces, like different functional utility where it's like essentially like Gorp core,
right,
in a way, like, but it's fire.
Yeah.
And, the ethos that we want to put out is just environmentalism, like in our imagery. In my imagery, like I want to look like I'm up to something.
Yeah.
There was a tweet that I saw. It was like, why is it that when every man wants to DJ, he starts dressing like a fisherman? And like, I think that means something. Like, yeah, yeah, of course I'm gonna look like a fisherman, but I'm gonna look like a fire fisherman.
Yeah.
Like, I wear that vest all the time and I definitely know I look like a fisherman. I'm wearing a bucket hat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so I kind of want to, I was like a mix between like lifestyle, you know, I would want like Swami Sound to be like a lifestyle,
wow,
like a
yeah.
brand in a way
yeah, yeah.
that is functional, that makes sense moving forward. That's not wasteful.
Yeah, it makes me think of that bag that I guess like it's your bag, like the tote bag.
The effects works bag.
Yeah, and it's like you have everything in the circle, and you pull up the straps, and it just like folds in on itself. Right. So you pack up your picnic, you're out of there, you're gone.
I don't have it yet. I just bought it.
Okay. So it's so cool.
Yo.
But that's what it reminds me of, the whole like, because that's something that's like, it's very cool. It like looks sick, but it's like, I feel like it's such like a social thing, because it makes it like, what that enables you to do is like makes it really easy for you to go hang out in a park. Mm-hmm. And that's great. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah.
And that's something that I learned about a Montreal summer. Mm. It's like that y'all really enjoy it out here.
Yeah. Cause we suffer the rest of the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's similar to New York, you know, it's like, it's painful to be outside for a lot of the year. So the second it's May, it gets nice out, we're outside.
Yeah, and like y'all got some really pleasant weather,
yeah,
which is really cool. And like I'm really excited to travel a lot more and like see like more colder places.
Okay.
I'm like I really like the cold, honestly. If you dress right for it, you can really enjoy it.
And definitely
I enjoy snowboarding.
Okay, and, sick.
So I kind of want to experience this winter like in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the heat. I mean, I did just sweat all over your floor.
It's an occupational hazard, you know?
Right.
It's the cost of doing business.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, I wanna talk about the bucket hats a little bit, the Kangol and the Kangol agenda.
Yeah.
Like, what is it sort of like a costume almost, or like something that's like, okay, like I'm in like DJ mode now, and then when you take the hat off, you're like, I can just be myself? Or is it like
the Kangski? that black Kangol that I have that is like so dirty now.
I'll bet it's like very sweaty.
It's like do not wash, like so I don't even know how to clean it. But
it's tough with hats.
Yeah, like that was a gift, actually.
Oh wow,
it was a gift. And somehow, like, I liked it so much. I used to not be a fan of bucket hats.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I started wearing the Kangol,
right,
I was like, yo, this is, like, kind of fly. Like, I'm feeling myself in this.
Right.
And then, but then it's like a very, it's a DJ thing, like, wearing a bucket hat. Like, that's definitely a DJ aesthetic, a producer aesthetic. But also, like, when you take a look at, like, Bronx, like, music culture, like, in our music history, like wearing like Lacoste, Kangol, like etc., Fila, like the whole aesthetic. I mean, that's me.
You know?
That's a style that I'm trying to not necessarily move away from, but sort of evolve it.
Whoa, yeah.
And evolve it into like sort of the technical like aspect that I want to sort of like push, so that it's like futuristic in a way.
Whoa. The tech Kangol.
The tech Kangol would be insane.
That'd be nuts.
Like, I mean, I want to look into it, but. For the most part, like Kangol has a very traditional look, and it stays true. It's not like Converse, you know how they like keep switching silhouettes.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Now they have the huge chunky soles for like the K-pop stars.
It's not for me. I'm not really down.
Just the high tops.
Yeah,
the Chuck 70s.
No,
you got the thicker sole.
The
OG. That's fair.
I actually like literally did a focus group with Converse,
and whoa,
they showed us like a couple of silhouettes. I don't even know. I didn't sign anything, but like they showed us a couple of silhouettes, and I'm like, yo, why are y'all doing this? Like, just like y'all, I think y'all make enough money off the 70s alone. Like, just keep making the 70s.
Yeah,
or the skate Converse, but even those look like 70s. Like, whatever. I don't even mean to trash Converse, but I sort of want to like explore sort of a future nostalgia in a way.
Yeah.
But like not really like trying to delve into the nostalgic part of it, but sort of like pushing it in a different direction. Cause like the futurism, I feel like this like fantasy of futurism is like a little dead.
Mm. Like in the classic, like sci-fi sense, you mean?
Well, like, yeah, like what we originally, or rather what like humans originally like thought of, like what 2000, like this 21st century was gonna be like.
Yeah,
super dead. Like, and then the whole like Y2K revival is cool,
right?
But like most of us are like, this is, it's either like this is cool or this is kind of corny. And like the more we see like more like artists sort of delving into it, we're seeing like we're sort of drifting very far from it, because now it's just becoming like a visual aesthetic that only exists on the internet.
Yeah.
So I'm very obsessed with how can I change like the physical world around, like just starting with me.
Right.
And it's all very tangible. It's not even like I'm dreaming of a new planet or anything like that. I want to look like I'm on Mars. And it's very possible.
Definitely.
Without like sort of like trying to reimagine like buildings.
Yeah.
Like the actual physical world. Like how can we start with ourselves, with our fashion, and like move forward?
Wow.
And those aesthetics are definitely like tangible.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of like having money to do it.
Yeah. Is that sort of the drive to make these like two-step verification CDs for you to, mm-hmm. to like have these physical things that like.
Yeah. Yeah. The two-step verification, like that first CD, mm-hmm. like that one, like CDs in general, like I'm just doing it to sort of like show the physical, like, how I look, mm-hmm. rather, because it may seem like self-absorbed or like too involved, but like sort of like let me give you a CD with my face on it. Like just sort of like how I could look. I hope that people sort of like look at me and see like, okay, we're like this you could like really like pull the swag off. And like, but also I'm also showcasing my friend's photography,
yeah,
in that. And but also like the Swami Sound aesthetic, like you have that CD and then like you'll just have it there. And very inspired by like Gum, for example, like mm-hmm. when he like his whole thing is CDs,
right? Yeah.
And sort of like showing how packaging is like A1. And so like if I figure out how to like sort of push my own ethos through my own packaging, then yeah. I'd like differentiate it and I have my own lane.
Yeah, and then it's like that, like making it like personal, making it feel, because like I was thinking about like the Y2K thing you said, like I mm-hmm. feel like it's a lot of these internet aesthetics, they like they're just like you said, purely visual, and it feels like it's not like grounded in something, or right. it's not like you know, like maybe you have like a Hello Kitty keychain, but like what does that mean? Like are you really about Hello Kitty like that?
Yeah. Are you really about Hello Kitty like that?
But anyway, like, yeah, like the I don't know, I guess just like making it personal, making it like feel like more genuine, like exactly. like you were talking about,
and relatable.
Yeah,
relatable connection is like the most important thing.
Mm.
And honestly, like I don't think anybody born after 1999 can even relate to the Y2K aesthetic.
Yeah,
because all those people are literally like 30 through 40 now.
Yeah, like I was born in 99. It's literally, like I don't remember Y2K.
It's not even our swag.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly. That's why it's like, you know, that's why I think it's almost like, you know, but it's like almost like the internet is diluted so much that it's like, what, yeah. you know, I try to think about it like, all right, like what is my swag? You know,
right.
like how do I tap into that? And it's cool that it's like, you know, you have these, like all this music that like mm-hmm. people can listen to and be like, mm-hmm. wow, like, all right. Like, and sort of get a sense of like, I don't know, I guess like you're about like you really love R&B acapellas is what I've noticed. Yo,
exactly. Like, and I'm playing stuff like most of the stuff that I'm playing isn't even between 95 and 2000. It's mm-hmm. like most of the stuff I'm playing is between like 2001 and 2009.
I see.
Like those like years that I was like actually like I had a brain that could remember things.
Yeah.
Like, and that like goes into like my whole thing, like this like sort of thing I'm trying to push as memory music. Like this yeah. is stuff like I actually remember. Like if I'm playing like Lumi D Never Leave You, like uh-huh. I'm gonna play that song because I remember like being in my crib and then hearing somebody playing it so loud.
Whoa. While they're driving around. Yeah.
You know, like I'm not playing these because I think the crowd might like it. I'm playing it because I liked it when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and I'm mixing it in such a way that's just like, yo, like you could dance to it, and like it all just like plays into all the parts of the memory, like of my memory.
Mm.
Like this isn't like I'm researching, oh, what do people like. I'm right. like just like trying to like delve into my own memory, think about like my past and translate it into my future.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So speaking of future, sort of as we look now into the fall, it's gonna get colder and you yeah. won't, you know, not sweat in places.
I'm still gonna sweat.
It happens, you know. But you know, you'll you should go to Vancouver, honestly. You should go to BC. It's yeah. beautiful. Everyone says it's the most beautiful place on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And got lots of mountains for you to snowboard.
Yeah, I'm with that. I've actually been told you're the second person to tell me to go to BC.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful. But yeah. going into the future, going into the fall, like what's next for you? What do you got your mind on?
Well, so like I just released this remix today, and today being Friday, if this is airing on Monday. Looking forward, I really want to finish my LP.
Damn, nice.
I want to finish my LP, but I don't want to rush it. Like I don't think I'm not absolutely sure if I'll be releasing this fall, like that, like LP, just to make sure that everything gets done and done right.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to sort of exploring more with more like musicians, like collaborating a little bit more.
Yeah.
At least trying and sort of getting people to understand like what I'm doing and like what I can do rather than like what they think they want me to do.
Ooh, okay. Do you already feel like there's like this idea of like as a DJ, like who you are and what you do?
As a like a DJ and a producer, well, first and foremost, I gotta like let these people know that I'm not just a DJ.
Yeah.
Like right during the pandemic, actually, it was when I was talking to my then manager, Rachel, and her and I were talking. I was like, yo, I think I figured out what I want my performance style to be.
Right.
Because as like an electronic, like as a producer, like I'm thinking I used to perform with an Ableton Push.
Right.
And like, but that would involve me carrying around my laptop and everything like that.
Yeah.
And
then
I was like, oh, how do I. And then it also requires a lot of deliberation in Ableton. How can I like get my songs to all sound good together?
Mm.
Which is, and essentially, like, I'm gonna tell you how I learned how to DJ. I learned how to DJ in 2016 with Ableton.
Okay.
So, with
off a launch pad.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So like, okay, cool. Just
cueing it all, and understanding how the warping works. So that like all the tempos like come together when you're changing like Ableton's tempo, and that was for my first gig ever. First gig ever was like in the Bronx, and I didn't know how to like DJ with turntables. It was actually very threatening.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, I could not look at Serato.
Yeah,
and but I knew Ableton.
Yeah,
and then I saw like all the ins and outs in Ableton. I was very dead set on learning how to really make that program work for me.
Wow. Yeah. And how far did I take
like the DJing with Ableton? I did a couple of gigs with it, and then I actually like did it until like 2019.
Oh, okay.
But during 2019 is when I learned how to use CDJs. I taught myself how to use CDJs because I was working at my school's radio station.
Okay, dope.
So I would like take over the production studio and like kind of just like give a crack at it. So I learned CDJs before I learned any other program. So like I got familiar with Rekordbox without touching a controller nor Serato. So I still don't know how to use Serato. And frankly speaking, it doesn't matter whether or not I know how to use Serato. And then I don't really remember what my point was, but
talking about learning to DJ.
Yeah, learning to DJ. Right, and then I picked up the Denon, and then because of my frustration with Rekordbox, and so as a sort of, I started out DJing as a producer,
because you were making beats first.
I was making beats first, but I learned how to DJ with the thing that I was making beats with.
Yes,
and I think people don't know that, and that's okay, but.
we're here on FM telling you,
but it's been complicated having an opinion on producing.
I just had
a little bit of an L moment on Twitter last week where like I like QRT'd Ski Mask and I didn't even know I was QRT'ing him.
Yeah, I saw that actually.
I didn't care because my opinion was still my opinion.
Yeah,
like you stand by that. Was his opinion, but like I didn't realize like what they were like mad of, what the, like his fans were mad about, because I like called him a loser. But it's just like I didn't say I'm gonna verbalize like what I meant. I was like, yo, losers can't even y'all can't even make good songs. I'm just like joking.
Right,
but there's
just knocking the ambient minimal, guys. You gotta like
but honestly, no, shout out to Ski Mask, like he's fire, like and I know that, but honestly I did not literally look at who tweeted it. I didn't care who tweeted it. I just saw an Ableton opinion. I was like,
As the real Ableton user.
And then other people were just sort of like subtweeting me without actually adding me, and I was like, and I saw it all. I'm just like, yo, what's wrong, chill?
Yeah, that's
like,
a bummer.
Someone was like, it's funny how people in the DJ realm like have opinions over production. I was like,
ooh,
are you like, and these are people sort of doing the same thing that I was doing when I QRT, when I QRT Ski Mask. Like, yeah. They don't know who they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're talking about me. Like, I literally release songs like every couple of months. I like produce this music, and I like produce like really, really intricate stuff.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying, I was just joking too. But yeah, it's all right.
It's Twitter, right. You know.
And I took that L, you know, like that's just like what opinions are. But my my big thing moving forward in the fall is sort of like showcasing more of my production.
Yeah.
Doing shows still. I met Patrick Holland the other day.
Okay, cool.
Project Pablo. Okay. Electronic musician. Now he's doing indie stuff.
Okay.
Cool. And I was able to get some insight on being an electronic musician, like budding, like sort of like rising, and knowing what to do and stuff. And I got some really good advice from him. And I don't even know if it was advice, but like just like to get a roadmap of like what it could be.
Yeah.
So moving forward, I think like what I'm gonna try to do is probably like visit Europe, do a European tour, without releasing a record.
Right.
I'm gonna try to do it without releasing a record. I don't think, well, first, I don't know if people are even asking for a record yet.
I feel like I put it together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting because but I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I think people are just content with the tracks and like there's remixes, there's new stuff. Like you know, even if it's not an LP, like you know, there's been so many releases, like the Omarion, like Icebox, like remix, and But I think that like. It'll get there. People are going to want. They're going to be like, all right. Especially if you're like, all right, it's time for my production. Like, you know, that seems like a great way to showcase.
Yeah. And essentially what I am doing, I'm already rolling out the LP.
Okay.
But I'm doing it on the fly.
Yeah.
Like, I've already decided what songs are going to be on it and stuff. Like, I'm just like kind of putting these songs out because I'm like, you know what? I think it's time, you know, my listeners, you know, get something. And I like, I know that they're content. Like, we're in a musical economy where singles are like, really like holding and like that's what it's about, and I don't want to just like be like, hey, my project's dropping this day. I've done that and it's worked, but I sort of want people to sort of get familiar with those songs. I want them to have an identity with each song that I'm putting out.
Yeah,
you know? Like there are people who like Refuse, like the emo kids that like Refuse, and then there are the people that like Back in the Day because it's just like this is something that they haven't heard before, but then the people who like to get hyped to Hope It Stays. And then now it's like with the Selected Dub, what I wanted for people was to, I actually wanted the Selected Dub for the DJs. I did that for the DJs. And I also did that for New York City Garage to delineate from UKG.
Whoa.
So like by getting a UKG remix of Back in the Day, now you'll understand that there is a fine line between what I'm doing and what everybody else is doing.
Oh, it's like a fit. Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, it's like officially there's two versions.
There's two versions. Right. There's like my like version of Garage, and then there's like a UKG version of it.
Wow.
Like, and you could call them both UKG, whatever. I'm over arguing with people. But I am who I am, and I know who I am.
Yeah.
And like this version, like back in the day, like if you think of the progression, I'm going between R&B, sort of like trap style by the end of it, but then I'm like, it's all two step. And then, but like with Spanish lyrics, I'm from New York. I live, breathe, and eat New York. Like,
right.
I know, like, that's what it is. Like, this is New York City Garage.
Yeah.
I am New York City Garage, and I know what I'm doing. And then, like, I selected to do it, and he acknowledges it. Like, and they all, like, see me. They see me as an American doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I think I, like, get the chance to sort of distinguish what it is.
Yeah.
But anyways, for the DJ, it's easy to spin. Like, and it's like, and it's like a good like version of that song.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So we're coming to the end of our time here, here at CKUT 90.3 in the studio with Swami Sound. What do you want to plug anything? What do you want to say to the people of Montreal?
Yeah,
that isn't Where's the Poutine.
Shout out to the poutine. Shout out to Patati Patata.
Hell yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. I want to say a couple of things, three things. LDS Summit, two-step verification. If you want to come to New York, September 9th, Misa Bor Cafe, part two.
Solid.
Be on the lookout for the Back in the Day Eldia remixes. So that's going to be another release I got coming by the beginning of September. I'm going to have more remixes of Back in the Day, but by my fellow label mates at Eldia, Optic Core Age, diss track. Montreal, I love you. Thanks for coming to Datra the other night.
The FM band is from 88 megahertz up to 108.
You've got this frequency. We're going to call you CKUT. You've got this frequency, 98.3. That frequency is what you're picking up when you tune that radio.
Very impressive.
You can sit on the road and it looks like they pick up CKUT, clear as a bell.
Fascinating. Your analysis seems logical.
CKUT is on the air.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Allô à toutes avec un crisse de gros E, à cause que c'est toujours bien la base d'essayer d'inclure tout le monde.
La très bienvenue à ce nouvel épisode de votre podcast féministe interrégional et le plus intersectionnel possible préféré. À tous les épisodes, on se garoche à la vitesse de l'éclair dans un thème qui nous touche puis qui nous intéresse vivement. On l'observe avec nos lunettes nerd radicales de presque trentenaires, ben à bout de ce monde-là qu'on travaille à chimer à grands coups de podcast.
Dans le fond, tout ou pantoute, c'est comme le moton de tape que tu colles sur le plancher quand tu joues dans une salle de